decade ago, the United States was rocked by a foreclosure crisis in the wake of the Great Recession. Real estate prices plummeted and credit markets all but froze, with many banks reluctant to sell mortgages. But for cash buyers, the glut of cheap property was an appealing investment opportunity. And some of the biggest beneficiaries of the flush housing market were private investors who began buying homes in the millions. Sandy Jolly was one of the nearly 10 million Americans who lost their homes between 2006 and 2014. A bank foreclosed on her Los Angeles property in 2013.
We just walked around the house, you know, remembering how long my parents had been there, how much they loved that house, how proud they were of that house. I was thinking of all the memories.
When the house was sold at auction, the new owners offered Sandy to stay, but this time as a renter.
Those letters said to me, they're going to put a tenant in here, and it's either going to be you and you're going to agree to their terms, or it's going to be somebody else and we don't really care.
And Sandy's story is all too common. A shell company called Colfin AI5 California LLC had bought the deed for her home in an all-cash transaction. According to the Census Bureau, after the recession, almost 3 million homes and 13 million apartments had been bought by similar entities like LLCs, LLPs, and other obscure investment vehicles. Now, new reporting from Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting has peeled back a layer of the corporate facade that conceals who really owns the U.S.'s housing stock. According to Reveal, these essentially anonymous owners decrease the number of affordable houses on the market and can spell trouble for tenants and communities. And now Reveal is suing the Treasury Department to get the identities of the wealthy investors behind these shell companies. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Joining me now is Aaron Glantz, senior reporter at Reveal and author of the new book, Homewreckers. Aaron, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.
So why were these shell companies buying up all these properties? Was it just a question of the availability and the affordability of these properties?
Well, I mean, they had cash at a time, as you said in your intro, the banks weren't lending. They came in, you had millions of homes all across the country, the banks were foreclosing on people, and there were folks with ready cash. The guy who bought Sandy's home, I write in my book, Homewreckers, Tom Barrack, Donald Trump's closest friend, who introduced Ivanka at the Republican convention and planned Trump's inauguration, buys 30,000 homes all over the country. The Guardian and the Washington Post unmasked Sean Hannity as a big buyer of homes throughout the American South, the Fox News personality. But each one of these revelations was a tremendous investigative news effort because we had to figure out who owned Colfin AI California 5 LLC. What we're saying at Reveal is, you know, we shouldn't have to have some kind of tremendous investigative news effort to find out who's buying up our towns. We should be able to know.
You mentioned Tom Barrack. I want to play a clip from Tom himself speaking at a real estate conference about how he goes about buying up underwater houses. Let's take a listen.
All cash means you have guys walking in, honestly, with bags of cashier's checks because you have no idea what you're going to have to bid. So we have these little 21-year-old kids that are walking in with bags, with Bluetooth on, with cashier's checks in these denominations.
Aaron, you mentioned a bunch of folks, including Sean Hannity and Tom Barrack, who we just heard, who are buying up properties. I mean, is that not a legal strategy?
I mean, there was nothing illegal about what Tom Barrack was doing, and there's nothing illegal about what Sean Hannity is doing. The issue here is transparency. Like, do we have a right to know who our landlords are?
And so if this is a legal strategy, why are they going to such lengths to conceal their identities? That's really what you're trying to get at here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a LLC policy that was, I mean, it stands for Limited Liability Corporation, right? And it was created for tax purposes. Actually, it was originally created to shield oil companies who were drilling for oil in Panama from being held accountable in the United States. I mean, it had nothing to do with residential real estate whatsoever in the beginning. But what we see now is people from, you know, Sean Hannity on the one hand, to foreign oligarchs, on the other hand, to just mom and pop landlords who want to conceal themselves and not have the public know that they're buying a particular property. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing if you're Sean Hannity and you turn out to be a slumlord all across the southeastern United States. Maybe if you're going on national television every day showing yourself as a man of the people, right, you might not want people to know that. And then there's other folks who are potentially laundering money through these properties. And this is why the Treasury Department has been collecting this data. I mean, we live in a country now where in big cities like New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Miami, you know, a third of residential purchases are all cash. And the Treasury is telling us that as much as a third of them may have been flagged as suspicious activity. So not all of these cash buys are suspicious, but some of them may be linked to money laundering.
Aaron, I want to talk about, I mean, you mentioned the potential for money laundering. Again, not all of this activity is illegal. This is just really an opportunity for folks who have or had cash to go in and buy up. But there is an effect, isn't there, in terms of when you go from being a homeowner, as we heard Sandy at the top of the segment, to suddenly being a renter. What difference does it make if there is a shell company rather than, as you referred to earlier, a real human landlord? Like, what's the concern there?
Who do you call if something goes wrong, right? If you have a problem with your plumbing, if you have roaches, right, you pick up the phone and call the shell company. They probably give you a web portal to go to. But what if you can't satisfy your housing needs with a web portal? What if you want to go up the chain and the only place to go up the chain is a P.O. box in Delaware? Then you're in a world of hurt. In Sandy's case, she went from living in a house that had been bought by her parents back in the 80s for under $90,000 to paying over the course of 18 months more than $40,000 in rent to Tom Barrack's company. They raised her rent three times over those 18 months, and the lease agreement that they made her sign put almost all the maintenance responsibility on her. So if the plumbing burst, she had to fix it. If the window broke, she had to pay for it. But all those rent payments were going to Tom Barrack's shell company, and so he was getting the benefit of all that equity. So that's what happened with her. And then if you're the city and you're dealing with a whole town that is being bought up by shell corporations and you're trying to deal with issue of a housing shortage or systemic blight or your tax policy, but your whole town is being bought up by LLC, LP, and LLP shell companies, then what do you do? Who do you hold accountable? It's unclear.
Well, part of what you're describing, and I've seen this in other parts of the country, is that previously homes that were privately owned, which were caught up in the foreclosure crisis and essentially available, were then scooped up by private companies and now turned into rental properties. Now, I have a question for you, though. If somebody, I mean, does someone like Sandy not have a choice to stay and pay the exorbitant rents that you're describing or to move on to a cheaper property?
Well, that's what she eventually did. I mean, she was paying more and more and more rent to the shell company. And eventually, after about a year and a half of this, she moved. And now she's paying rent on another house, and her landlord is a human. And the landlord takes much better care of her, and the rent is lower. So you could say, oh, well, there's a market solution here. But on the other hand, these buyers with ready cash are taking a greater and greater share of the housing inventory of our cities. And this is not something that ended with the housing bust. We're seeing right now, even now with housing prices being so high, an enormous percentage of homes being purchased with cash and held by shell companies. And, you know, there's lots of rumors, right?
But are those shell companies renting those homes after they've been purchased, or are they just holding them indefinitely?
I mean, I think we have a real mix, right? We have some people who got in who turned these homes into rentals. But then we look up sometimes at these gleaming new skyscrapers in our major cities and we see lights that are off at night. And we wonder if there aren't people just parking their money in these buildings. And so even when developers build new housing, it doesn't feel like it's solving our housing crisis. And this is one reason why the transparency, you know, that we're going for in this lawsuit is so important.
Does it matter? I mean, is it the responsibility? Because you're talking about two different things. One are the homes that have already been previously owned and foreclosed on in the wake of the Great Recession. Another thing are new high rises that we see every day here in New York City that are explicitly luxury housing. And so is it the responsibility of the builders of those luxury houses or apartments to provide affordable housing?
Well, I mean, it's the responsibility of our government to give us the information that we need to make good policy, right? I mean, we'll be told like, oh, this new luxury building is going to provide housing. Maybe it'll be for the super rich, but you know, maybe super rich people are living there. Or what if this building that's going up is half empty and it's just zillionaires parking their money? Right.
What does that do, Aaron, to the fabric of a city? I mean, what's the concern there? Because we do see that quite a bit in luxury housing here in New York City. We know that there are luxury buildings that are going up with 25-year tax abatements, for example. We know that foreign investors in particular have parked a lot of money into these developments, which is a little different than I think what we're describing earlier, which are American homeowners who were caught up in the Great Recession. So is there, what's the impact there?
Yeah, I mean, these two things, they're both coming from the same fountain, right? Which is the complete opaqueness of our system. If you go to other countries like Ukraine, people can go online and look up the jargon is beneficial owner. Who is behind the shell company that owns that building, right? That is not something that we can do in the U.S. So you're asking me to weigh in, right, and discuss the impact of what's happening in our cities because of this incredible growth of shell company ownership, both at the lower and middle class level, where people like Sandy are renting, and in the upper class level on these new condo towers. And I guess what I'm saying is the reason we're wrestling with this so much and we don't really know is because the government is hiding key information from us.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has been revealed as one of the owners of multiple shell companies here. And you're at the same time, you're suing the Treasury Department for more transparency in getting the information behind these shell companies. Are you worried that there's a conflict of interest there?
Well, I mean, the law says that this information should be released. That's why we're suing. They've been concealing it to us for months. And we first filed our Freedom of Information Act request back in July. They said they could neither confirm nor deny that these records exist. We sent them their own press releases announcing that they were collecting this information. But yeah, it shouldn't be surprising that Steve Mnuchin, who owns property through shell companies, is not terribly excited at releasing this information to the public. As you know, our president, Donald Trump, is the first real estate developer president that we've had. He owns real estate through more than 300 shell companies. So this is the kind of world that we live in.
Aaron Glantz is a senior reporter at Reveal and author of the new book, Homewreckers. Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you.